Hi guys, it's Tiff. This is another episode, and I think you can sense the shift in vibes. So I started this year with mad vibes, and this year it's settling in slowly. I'm really excited to be sharing with you insights in this episode. It's more freestyle, but it's more honest, and as always, it's more grounded in terms of me settling in and sharing with you what's really happening. We rarely talk about how to deal with emotions or what you're going through in terms of unemployment. And I think I covered some of these things in season one. I'll personally listen to season one for myself and learn and pick up a couple of things, because sometimes there's some insights that you just need to borrow. Other than that, this January has been quite a whirlwind. It's been a very interesting month in terms of me finally accepting the fact that now, like for real, and me accepting that it's me out of a job and adjusting. Now, like my routine, my work life, and all that, and it's not been easy. Like right now, my mind is quite foggy. I'm trying to design, but my mind is very foggy. I don't know if it's heartbreak, I don't know if it's burnout, but it's quite foggy. I just decided to just take a beeper, record this episode. Maybe it'll give me some clarity on a couple of things. I just took a moment to think deeply as to what's going on with myself, and I honestly don't know, because the first time I was searching for a job, I wasn't experiencing this. I won't call it burnout. I don't know what it is. And it's got me questioning a lot about my philosophy, my approach. And imposter syndrome is kicking me as always. Doubt, fear, anxiety, the situation itself at hand. And yeah, it's not fun. And I don't think we really talk about it. I don't think I'd be brave enough, to be honest, to talk with someone about what's really going on. And I don't know if it's because I don't have friends who I can be honest with. And I think that's why social media has really got me hooked. Not because I enjoy it, I don't really, but that social feature, that social element has really got me, because it's the only place I've ever known to connect with other people. Yeah, so I don't really have a lot of social interactions, like depth with people around me, so it's been quite tough, and not many people have the time to stop and ask you how are you really, because it's always shallow and straight to the point, as with many interactions on social media, like hi, review this, what's your take on this, what do you want me to do, how can I help you, and it's always straight to the point. It's really depth, and there's a special type of loneliness that comes with losing a job, in the sense that if you don't have friends, that is, who can empathize with you and be with you and strengthen you in this, and be like who you can channel your strength, I guess, from. Because I believe, as much as there's that element of prayer, there's also this element of togetherness, of people being there for you, of telling you they got your back, that I feel I lack. And not from like my family, like I'd say from people who are non-existent in my life, which are friends. And that just strips another layer of trauma, childhood trauma, and you're like, oh, now it makes sense. As I said, like when you are becoming a designer, in my experience, it brings out number one the best in you and the worst in you, and you need to work on the worst of you, and you start ripping off layers of yourself, and you see what's working and clearly what isn't. And for me, it's the childhood trauma, which is really blocking, which I've seen and evaluated and seen that it's really blocking a lot of things and is the source of some of the troubled things in me right now. And some of the habits, some of the instincts and perceptions I have formed is a source of that, and I need to deal with that. Anyways, that aside, I've seen that I need to deal with a lot of stuff, and that friendship stuff is one of them, and I don't know how to navigate that. But that aside, there's that problem of you're not really honest with what's really going on. And I don't know, maybe you have friends, and I don't know if you're in that position of telling your buddy or your homie or your boy or your girl what's really, really going on. 'Cause it's rough. The loneliness, the pain, the thoughts which run in your mind. Sometimes prayer really helps. For me, it helps calm, it calms me, but sometimes you want to talk to someone who will empathize with you and tell you, not just tell you it's going to be okay, but just listen to you. I think that would really help if you're in such a situation. And I think this second unemployment phase for me, this like the second time round, is quite different in the sense that of course, you know how much you've grown. Like, I know, oh my goodness, I have grown. But I'm also seeing, like, you're now at a level where you don't know where you are. At the beginning, you knew, like, your junior in terms of the level of experience you are. You know what you want. But right now, you know what you want, but the market doesn't necessarily have like the opportunities for that. I'd say I'm mid in terms of experience, junior mid, because I have some experience. I'm not like totally fresh. And it's quite hard in terms of you searching for opportunities and you putting yourself out there for them is quite hard. And me not seeing any opportunities honestly has been the roughest for me. Me really wanting a job and not having one, that's hard. That aside, it brings me to something very interesting that I've experienced this month. Well, I've been working on this project for a while now. It's a redesign for a project I did in the first version of my portfolio called Base. I was invited by some students from my university as a project for the Google Solutions Challenge, where they want to avail affordable living for campus, I mean for students around campus. And the whole notion was like someone from all, like these campuses are like, for example, Moi hosts a bunch of students from all over the country and definitely all over the region, and we wanted to come up with a solution where it's easy for you to get a hostel, it's easy for you to get a good clean hostel and enjoy your campus experience without just like you're from a different region and you don't know and you're not really conversant with Eldred or wherever that campus is located, and you want to search for a hostel, we want to make it easier for you. So I've been redesigning that It's been quite an interesting journey amidst the fog, because this fog is quite, it's not leaving. So I'm trying to design through it, but like that, I actually don't want to design. I've never experienced that. Like, I don't want to. It's not a matter of forcing myself, it's like literally me not wanting to. But a few weeks ago, I was, and I posted like a picture of what I was doing, a minimalist approach, of course, and it got a lot of hits. And I followed it up with a post on Twitter where I'm looking for a job, nyanyanya. And people started asking me for my rates as a freelancer. That is something I was not really like open up to, but all of a sudden, like, whoa, I need to start thinking of rates, I need to start thinking of proposals and all that stuff. So that opened me to that way of thinking of me being a UX consultant and seeing myself not just someone employed, but someone who's actively working with people from a leadership and consultancy point of view, which is really awesome. It got a lot of hits and people liked the designs. And I think that's where the fog started. But I think the sadness, I'll not call it depression, but the sadness started when I was told that when we're letting you go. At first it didn't hit me like, but after losing my uncle, now all those things were piling up and it came together and it just crashed. And I don't think I've recovered from that. Anyways, I posted that and it got traction. And a couple of people reached out to me, like, apply for this, apply for that, apply for that. And I applied, of course, with the usual applications on LinkedIn, with most saying, we received the application, however, this did not go through. Yeah, that sucked, but anyways, you apply, and of course, most of them, if not all, other than the rejections, you never hear back a response. But that aside, it really got me thinking that I've been thinking small. And then something else happened. So, one, being an exception, there's an internship I applied for, because we are in that phase of just apply for anything you see that has UX, UI, product design. And someone reached out to me and they're like, let's talk. And we did talk. The project is fantastic. It's something I've never done before, never thought of doing before. And I was like, these are my rates, and they're like, we can't afford you. And that really opened me up. That experience was amazing. Not in the sense that I couldn't get it, but from the point of view of I've been thinking so small, we're always boxed into these opportunity, this way of thinking of, if you're not working for firm, you're working for a tech startup of a specific nature. And that conversation I had with that person really opened me up to the possibilities of me as a user-centered designer now practicing UX in a field I've never thought of. And that's amazing. It got me thinking of updating my ideas for my portfolio, or rather, the kind of problems I'd like to showcase that I can solve, and that's amazing. Something else, I left all the communities, so now I'm communityless. It's lonely. I never knew how lonely it is, and it's so silent. So there are two sides to it. So there's one side where there's more stillness, there's less interruptions, but mind you, your mind is foggy. Anyways, There's less interruptions, you're more present. So once 5 reaches and you're done with your milking and all that stuff, you go to sleep. There are no after sessions, there are no sessions at night, there are no meetings at night. So ideally, if you had time, you'd actually learn more about your craft. You'd be free, essentially. I don't know if you have any solutions for fog. It's just kicking me. My mind is stuck. I've tried a bunch of stuff. It's just not working. I don't know if it's because I'm not sleeping enough. Because right now, I think it's 5.5 hours of sleep now. Yeah, it's 5.5. Because mostly when I look at the alarm, it's 5.5. Or 6. At most. I don't know if it's because of that. I don't know. If it's because I have a broken heart or the fog. But anyways, this is that side of you missing out on a lot, because Physiotech was doing great things in terms of, like, the plans I had for Physiotech, those, like, when they're being actualized, it's going to take the community and the region by storm. That I know for sure. And I hope, like, the people who are remaining will make that happen. I just didn't have the energy, if I'm being honest, to keep on. They don't tell you how consuming, no one tells you how consuming community, active community life is. There's one thing in terms of being a member, and I'm talking about specifically the African tech community space, because we are building everything from the ground up in terms of there's no active UX community, which is building for open source, but Physiotech is the first in these sides of the continent. And doing everything for the first time is demanding. And you doing it inexperienced and just figuring out in the woods as a leader is a whole other layer of demanding that I had. But I wasn't scared, because I had a vision for the community in terms of making sure that everyone, number one, is welcome and feels like they own the user experience of the community, and they play a big role in terms of making and leaving a positive impact in the community and in their own lives, bearing the visions not just of the community but also of the designers themselves and also of the admins and the leaders, bearing those visions. Because something I learned along the way of user experience is, when you are a user experience designer, you're not just bearing the vision of what the users would like to accomplish or what they would foresee themselves doing with what you're trying to deliver, but also from the stakeholder point of view, what they'd like, what they envision for the product, and what you yourself envision. You are the bearer of visions. And that's what I was doing as a leader in Physiotech. Not just bearing the visions, but helping people realize all those visions in their own way. Using a multidisciplinary approach. And, of course, personalized approach as well. And it feels sad, because I knew I had to give that up so that I can have more time at home. It was quite overbearing, because, like, it reaches a point where you can't leave, like, your mom doing everything. You have to chip in. And it was either I take some time to Like the meeting times, for example, you'd find yourself from 7 to 10. That's why you're doing meetings and all that. I had to pause for a bit. Anyways, it reached a point where it was between 7 and 10, and I was wondering, like, will I wash the milking utensils or will I attend meetings? I had to choose the milking utensils, of course. And I was telling my mom, like, I had to give that up for this. She was like, don't blame me. I was like, I have to blame you, but it's that decision I had to make. Obviously, I'm not going to leave you doing all that. It's hard for one person, and as it is, there are very few hands on deck. So it's just a matter of giving up a lot of things so that other things can work. And not many people, like, and also, like, the community life is overwhelming. I won't lie, this is me being honest with you. If you want to be all in on community, know the pressure that comes with it, and if you can't keep up, take a beep, and if you can't beep, leave. I left, and I'm feeling much more still, cause I am more optimal when I'm still, as opposed to just hitting it. And I think this month has been quite introspective. I don't remember it being introspective for a while, because it's been community, this event, this task, this thing. And with our communities, I understand, like, the pressure to keep up with the demand. There's so many people who need that support from the community to make their dreams come true. And not many people know how much involvement is needed in making such things happen, in running a community alongside you trying to build a career and run a farm project and do all these other things. So for me, it was quite, I couldn't keep up, and it's okay. And something I realized is I don't think many communities or community leaders or people who want to start communities know how much sacrifice is involved in starting one, in running one, in supporting one. I don't think people do. And community is a buzzword, but I don't think many people know the sacrifice you, if it works, is it's truly amazing, groundbreaking, positively impactful in many lives, just like Speciotech. I don't think many people know how much the admins work to make that a reality. And if your life can involve that sacrifice, please go ahead and do it. Volunteer and help other people make their dreams come true. And in this context of tech, my life right now, I don't think I'd be able to juggle all that, because I'm trying to look for a job, I'm trying to adjust to this kind of life. I also have my personal problems that I cannot share with you in this podcast, and I'm also trying to just keep it together as a human being. I was like, this is too much. So after leaving Friends of Figma, after leaving Speciotech, I'm community-less. And there are advantages to it, as I mentioned, there are disadvantages to it, but before you become active, please know what it involves and if you're willing to sacrifice. And if you are, go for it and not half ass, full in on it. And I'm sure you're going to derive not just utility, but satisfaction from it. As for me, I was like, no, I have too much going on in my life. I just need to get out and just try to figure my house out, to figure myself out. Yeah. And just go back to my craft and be selfish. This is my year of selfishness, actually. I want to learn more about service design. I want to know more about UI design, which I've been learning so far, which is amazing. And I'm learning a lot, as much as my mind is foggy and things are not making sense. I know I'm learning, and it's amazing. Like, learning more, and hopefully when my mind clears out, I'll be able to design way better than before. Because it's a game of creating and consuming, creating and consuming. Other than this, it brought me to another problem I had in terms of mentorship. So I've been having an amazing mentor. How many years has it been now? 2? So that was before I got a job. That job ended and we're still together. And I'm really grateful for God's grace on that. And I was looking for another mentor, design mentor. And I went to ADP list. It freaked me out. It really freaked me out when I was searching for people, like in Kenya. I'm just saying senior that, senior this, senior this, senior this. Number one, the first thought that ran through my mind, to be honest, was like, in this country, the senior designers, and why am I not seeing them in communities? Like, I was leading a community of a junior designer. Where were they? And it made me realize, okay, I think they're joining ADP list because they're short on time, and ADP list is more structured to their compatibility and mentorship style of, I'm here for you, I have all this knowledge, let's book 1 hour, 2 hours and do this. And I realized that I'm not after the 1 hours. I'm not after your 1 hour for your convenience. I was looking for a different mentorship model, kind of like the one I have now. I don't talk to my mentor every day. Maybe send an email every now and then, and she can respond and tell me, this is what you're supposed to do, or these are my insights, this is what I think you should do, or this is how it goes. If it's more like, how does this work, and she'll explain it to me. I was looking for a more intimate form of mentorship model that I don't think ADP list had. And some I asked, like, is there any other way I can get a mentor other than ADP list? And someone is like, ask someone you admire. And I don't have anyone I admire, honestly, in the UX field in Kenya or anywhere. I was like, is it because I'm arrogant? Is it because I haven't seen anyone really do something inspiring that is intimate, that I can actually connect with on a personal level? Not just their work, but who they are as a human being. I was like, oh no. Am I out of my mind on this one? And I was like, I really want guidance in terms of how UX looks like in 2 years, in 3 years. Where am I? Like, what does 3 years look like as a UX designer, or as I'm looking for a job? What should I be looking at? It was quite confusing. Like, when I looked at people on ADP list, I was like, people are busy, so I wouldn't want to take the time. And I told my mentor this, like, I'm seeing people and I'm scared of approaching them. But she's like, they're for that reason. There's a reason why they've displayed themselves on that platform and saying that they want to mentor you, or in that respect, for that amount of time. And it made sense for me. It makes sense now. And I've been hesitant to ask seniors for design, for guidance, because I feel like I'm not worth that time. I'm just another project. I'm not just another statistic. I'm just another person to add 5 stars to the mentorship or the 30-minute conversation they had with me on things they find obvious, but I feel like it's new ground for me. And I didn't really feel comfortable, but after much introspection, I'm like, I think a DP list is more like, this person has this amount of time and they can give you expertise on this field and this field, on this area and this area and this area. So would you like to talk to them and it's free? Yeah. I was like, this is fantastic. Like, if I want someone to review my portfolio, I wouldn't have to guess like anyone. I just go to ADP list, get someone who is interested in this specific area and of review, and book a meeting with them. And that's just a one-off thing. But also, I think initially I was looking for a more intimate relationship between me and the prospective mentor, and I realized that I don't think I need that now. What I need is, I got into a conversation with another friend, and that was quite interesting as well, because they were like, I don't have mentors. I'm more like a self-critiquing kind of person, and I was like, that's what I needed. There's some areas I think I need mentorship from other people in terms of reviewing my work, critiquing my work, my approaches, those one-off things. But in terms of more intimate things, I don't think I have anyone for that. And I feel like people are too busy to build relationships with other people. Such relationships, such intimacy. And I believe that's what mentorship is. That's what I've seen work. Not just for me, but for other people. When I sit with them and I talk with them, they talk with me, they tell me what's going on, and I'm able to help them from that perspective and building a relationship with them. And I was wishing and thinking that I'd have that, but it looks like people are too busy and they're more interested in the one-off kind of thing. And I decided if that's the ecosystem we are in right now, I'd prefer just self-critiquing and maybe doing the one-off for people who, I mean, for one-off tasks like portfolio review, an approach review, or anything of that matter, which is just one-off. Because I think from the ADP list meetings I've had, it's been... Oh, sorry. Back to this. Well, it's more looking for a more intimate kind of mentor-mentee relationship. And I think Spacia Tech is also looking for that. But I feel selfish. I think, as I said, this is my selfish year. In the sense that, I don't know, I'm looking for more guidance. And I feel like this is my rest year, where it's more stillness and more relationship in terms of me benefiting, more taking, if that makes sense. Of course, it's a give and take, but I'd like to be on the taking end more. And also giving is something inborn that it just happens. Sometimes I just find myself helping out and I don't know how, but I'd like for more guidance, yeah, in that sense, and less guiding, if that makes sense. I think it's like I'm tired of just being pushing and pushing, and I just want to be more of the back bench kind of person, learning more about my craft. And if I were to be like at the forefront of anything, it would be more learning, questioning,
and just tearing things apart and seeing how they work and bringing them together in a different format. That's what I look forward to, and I feel like self-critiquing is a really good form of self-mentorship that will enable me to build a relationship with myself first. Let me just build that relationship with myself and see my strengths, my weaknesses, and also the kind of designer I want to be. I've been about that for a while now. Like, what kind of designer am I? What's my process? What do I lean more into? And so far, like in this one month of introspection, I've learned a lot in terms of where I lean more deeply into, in terms of my approach and how I view solutions. Yeah, so it's been foggy for that. But UI wise, oh my goodness, I've been reading these books and I've seen so many mistakes I've been making with my user interface design, and I look forward to reworking that on Baze, maybe even redoing Baze again so that I can do it right. Something else I've learned, other than the self-critiquing, other than me being selfish, is also like, other than like being learning all over again what makes me a human being, that my value as a human being is not attached to like me, whether I have a job or not, is it's okay. Like, wherever I am, it's okay. I think this is just me reassuring myself that it's okay. The fog, the confusion, the heartbreak, the loneliness, it's okay. I feel like this will help me empathize with other people, so that when they come to me with these problems, I hope I'll be receptive enough, empathetic enough to help them so that they cannot feel what I'm feeling, to be honest. It sucks. It really sucks to feel what I'm feeling right now. And if I would be in a position to help other people not feel this way, I'd be happy to help. Something else I feel like I'm missing. What am I missing? Let me confirm. With my mind and myself, Figma is really distracting me again. So, if you look at the job ecosystem right now, we've been looking quite narrowly in terms of that these layoffs here, that these layoffs there, but I'm seeing other, like, the same companies hiring, and I'm also seeing other people coming up with products, and they're looking for expertise in user experience design. So I'm clinging on to that hope where I'm going to match with an organization which, number one, is well paying, which is after the same values as I am. Of course, I know I'm a user experience designer, but I also know that the stakeholders, the people who are hiring me, have goals and objectives. And I feel like UX is not just for users, but it's also for organizations, not just to improve how they operate from day to day, but also help them make money. So I'm really keen on displaying the monetary value of UX, because UX is profitable. UX is profit. It's good business for organizations, and I really am keen on displaying that monetary aspect from a positive trajectory with a positive point of view. Other than this, the rejection suck. Oh my goodness. Oh, nobody told me it would be this bad. I've had rejections, but like this time around, it's more painful. And like when you're adjusting to living a certain type of lifestyle, then it's all of a sudden dropped. It's takes some time to adjust, and I think I've been quite hard on myself this past month. I didn't realize I was going through all this, but I think the more introspective sessions you get to see, now it makes sense why this and this has been happening. So what are we going to do now? And just realizing that every day is a new day. It ain't the same, so you just have to keep on keeping on. But I'd say, on a final note, we need more conversations, not just from experts. I think for me, it's reached a point, it just sucks. Like listening to experts do social, do very shallow conversations, obvious conversations. I feel like they're obvious for me, but I know for other people, it's like, what is this? Like exploring things. And I've realized in the social media space right now, other than like in the local, specifically local tech space, I've seen for international, like a big shout out to Research Bookmark. That's honestly a community I'd really like to be a part of, on the low, of course. But what they're doing, the value they're delivering is amazing. That's props. Other than that, like maybe it's me. Of course it's just me. But I feel it's so shallow and it's so repeated. The conversations we're having on Twitter spaces, the tech talks, they're barely scratching the surface of what is really going on in people's day-to-day lives. When we talk about imposter syndrome, we're not really, really talking about it from a personal point of view. And of course, there's this temptation of communities, of pages, of people bringing in experts. And the thing with experts is, we don't really get to know what's really going on in people who are not experts. They'll give their point of view, but for someone who's just starting out, for someone who is struggling, I don't know what another person is doing to manage that struggle. Like, personally, I'd say, I look at people who are maybe years ahead of me in experience, and the way they talk, like, I get them, but I don't think they get me. And that's where the disconnect happened for me. I feel like nobody gets what I'm going through, and I don't know if other beginners or other juniors like me have that same perception of the tech space which is going on right now. It's more experts grouping together and just thinking like they're helping people, but they're not really taking the time to know the people they're helping, to know what's really going on in their lives, so as to know the best kind of conversations to have with them to move from this headspace of victimization to, I know I'm going through this, I know no one is going to help me, but I'm in a position where I can see what I'm going through. And I get what you're saying, and I feel like you're getting what I'm saying because you're talking to me in a language I understand. You know what I'm going through, and the conversation we're having is different from what we were having before, so it's from a different light. That's what I'd say. So I think if I leave social media, I know, like, honestly, sometimes I'm there just for Jared Spool. He's a really good, like, he posts some fire UX links. I'm like, most of the links are there because, like, most open tabs I have are from UX Collective and Jared Spool, and there are other really cool UXers who post stuff on LinkedIn. I mean, on Twitter, mostly on Twitter. I'm mostly on Twitter these days, but the rest is just trash. Oh, and also the art. I'm there for the art. Yeah, like, I really like Twitter for the art. But, sorry, but the rest, like, I feel like they're not there yet in terms of conversations, and I wouldn't want to waste my time there anymore because of that. And I feel like with expats, there's a level of empathy they don't have. Or maybe, man, I feel really weird saying this in terms of the empathy. I don't know. Or maybe it's just me with my negativity. I don't know, but I feel like, because it's experts giving these talks, it's quite shallow. I think I mentioned that. And it's not just shallow, it's redundant. We're not really talking about what's really going on in the tech space, in people's lives. Like, we know this, for example, we know this pressure in terms of juggling a lot of things. There's that, that's obvious. But we don't talk about the loneliness. We don't talk about the depression. We don't talk about how people are struggling to make ends meet. We're not talking about what is really going on in people's lives. And I feel like if these experts sink to that level to know what's really going on with people, not just to look at people as texters, but to look at people as mama nani or baba nani, as someone's brother, as someone's guardian, to go to that level, to look at that person as a human being, not just from a career perspective, but from a whole perspective, so that if other needs are met, it will grow. Like, we will all grow. And I also feel like also having so many introductions to. Why can't we just have, for example, just a talk on UX maturity, or, for example, addiction, or another one which I would really like to shout out to Accessibility Africa for bringing in Eve Kibare on, just to talk to us about accessibility and high experience with digital tools. That those are the kind of tech spaces we should be having on Twitter. For me as a UXer, and for someone else as a software dev, like, such conversations change the narrative, change how I think, change how I design. So right now, even as I'm designing, for example, Baze, I'll have Eve Kibare in my mind, imagining, okay, when she reaches Baze, if she's searching for a hostel, how's that journey going to be like? Not just from the UX, but also from the service point of view, from the product. Just being multidimensional, and us really addressing not just the problems in tech people's lives, but in other people's lives. Not just problems, you can also do interests, you can do fantasies, you can do dreams, goals, ambitions, but we should stop being shallow. And I think that's what is going to make everyone grow. Not just beginners, intermediates, whoever, to make all of us grow. And I think the thing with social media, not just making us shallow in the things we talk about, but in how we think. So you'll find people like Carl Newport and Jeremy Lanier, talking about, like, when you step away from social media and you take the approach of just taking, for example, 1 month to research deeply on something, you'll be able to roll out so much more deep
deeper insights. And I think we need more depth. We need more depth in terms of the kind of conversations we have, not just around UX, not just around tech, but generally. Something else, I just needed to get that out of my mind, if I'm being honest. And I'd tell any junior at this point what has worked for me personally, if I'm being transparent, is depth, aiming for depth, not just, and also what the strategy I'm using is to solve problems which are not being solved. So as I'm going through ideas in my portfolio, I'm not looking at obvious stuff. I'm looking at the boring in obvious stuff. I'm looking at the ugly stuff, at things people are scared to tackle UX-wise, at things which are not really addressed properly by the society or whichever space you're at, or whichever field which is not being handled properly UX-wise. So go for problems which are not being solved, for you to not just do those obvious projects, do the inobvious which will make yourself, not even the person reviewing your portfolio, but yourself think and question life. I'd say, like, from my perspective, not redesigning Spotify, but maybe looking at, for example, my community and seeing people, or for example, youth getting drunk in the middle of the day. What does that mean? And starting your project from there. If it really bugs you, for me, like, I'd say I'd pick something that bugs me or makes me curious. What does that mean? If something happens or someone sees something, what does that mean? And my curiosity is kicked up from there. And that has worked for me for free. There's a free app that really, the mental health app, really, that really helped me. And just being curious about life in general, not the things which are already being done, but the things which need to be tackled. Those are the new grounds we need to break. For example, we're having problems in terms of climate. What does that mean? For example, for a child in Northeastern or a child in Turkana, what does climate change mean? Or from a gender perspective, like, there's been debates about having a third gender in our country, how that look like behaviorally. Tackle that, or what would that mean for you? And the many other things, I won't say problems, but insights you can get deep with. If maybe gender is not your thing, maybe sports is your thing. Like, for example, if, like, my brother's, I don't have a brother, but if my brother is really interested in having a career with, like, as a footballer, how would his future look like? Would that be a successful future? Can my brother be successful, like, for example, Victor Wanyama in Kenya? Like, from Kenya, does he have to go all the way to Europe or whichever continent to make that happen? Can it happen here? And I feel like, for example, for Twiga, like, just thinking about the middleman, can a farmer sell a product without middlemen? Or middlemen who are more composed and who put and prioritize the farmer? And thinking about just being curious and playing around with insights like that.
And I feel like that's what makes designers designers, just being curious as well as thinking about things, not just it's gonna be an app, it's gonna be a website. Sometimes maybe it's just a punch card, which is a solution, or a swipe card, or maybe a behavioral change of some way. Oh, it's about to wind up. I'm about to wind up on this. But I'd say just be curious and solve problems which are not being solved. That's like a pointer for dreamers. Other than this, it's been foggy, and maybe let me just hit it and try and design something and see if that fog will clear away and just go with the flow. Honestly, I'd tell any other unemployed person right now, just go with the flow. Don't be too hard on yourself. It's worrying, like financially, it's scary. But just thank God for today. Tomorrow comes, thank God for tomorrow. And just go a step at a time. And if you have someone to talk to, please talk to them. Be honest with your feelings, the frustrations. It's very frustrating. But be open to talking to someone about what's really going on. And if you are on the other end of receiving such conversations for people who are unemployed, please be empathetic with them. Talk with them. Know what's really going on. Be patient with them and be that ear. Be that mind. Be that heart. Be that heart. Be that heart. Hug them and tell them it's gonna be okay and help them. Help them wherever you can, however you can help them. And for my fellow unemployed people, keep at it. Your value is not based tied around a job, but around who you are as a human being and what God put you on this earth to do. Mine is a calling. It gets deeper and deeper every day. Like, mine is a calling. So as I was being frustrated yesterday, I just took a moment to think about what's really going on. And what helped is just remembering why. And sometimes you need to step back to just move forward to see how far I've come from and know what I need to do to just keep at it. So keep at it. I don't have any other pieces of advice. It was just showing you what I've learned so far. I think that's it from me. Oh, yeah, I've just remembered. Like, you may feel like you need to work thrice or twice as hard as your other counterparts because of your lack of resources, of the lack of the opportunities, networks, you know what you lack and you know what other people have compared to you, have less. But I've listened to my previous episode and I've realized that you don't need all that. You need you. You need the resources you have so that you can multiply. Just like the steward in the Bible, like with the little talents you have, work on that and I believe it will multiply over time. So you don't need a big, I don't know, to make your dream come true. Work with what you have and slowly scale. And what else did I have to say? Challenge your fear every day. Do what makes you feel stupid and makes you feel scared in a positive way and grow. I feel like that's what has made me grow faster. Me feeling stupid every day, me feeling scared, and me trying to face that fear every day. So let's face those fears and let's just do it. Peace.